Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. All right, well, we had a little trouble the last few days with some of the openings of the show. The audio isn't as what I'd like to, it's not as good as I like. And so I'm trying something here. I've turned the gain down a little bit. Hopefully we can get over those technical problems. But if you ever hear times when you can't hear the beginning so well, then just kind of skip ahead a couple of minutes because generally that's where the problems are. Second thing is both my chairs are broken. So I might sink down at any moment into my office chair. So I'm looking at my YouTubes on how to, fix the either or replace the gas cylinder. I just assume, lock it full, but they don't seem to give you that option. So anyway, so that's where we are right now. Those are the little things that drive you crazy. The big thing that drives me crazy is the fact that I just got censored on Facebook. And so obviously we're having more impact. The trolls have decided to gang up on me, the leftists who can't stand anything that doesn't meet their approval. And so we have a couple of them. We have Sally Smith, who's probably better known as Kathy Hanna, who has called the show before under Margaret the Liberal. I'm going to let everything go now. If you're going to come after me, then this is fair game, right? Okay, this is how it works. And Evan Klimple, who I think is Evan Klimple. At least he has a picture. Anyway, so these two folks are on my site. And I'm sure there are many others who disagree with the fact that we're, Americans, patriots, we believe in freedom. We know the whole pandemic is the virus is real, but the government reaction is a complete and total hoax. And so I'm off Facebook commenting for 7 days. So everything's moving to Parler. And so I'm hoping, I wish they had those like big messages. I'm going to continue to do big messages, but I'm not posting any articles anymore on Facebook. There's just no point. And so I'll do my, when I come back, I'll continue to do the memes, because apparently they're not really set up for the memes. They are set up for articles. And the article that I post is a story that is going on right now at One American News, and that has to do with the Wuhan lab and the gain of function research and the fact that Dr. Fascist it funded it illegally and it wasn't reviewed. It didn't go through the normal NIH review process. Of course, I mean, that's how they get stuff through, right? And so the gain of function research was necessary to make the pandemic severe enough to cause everybody to go into a panic, to create the declaration of emergency that Trump was led to give through lies and deception and everything else, which meant that the vaccines they created years ago, the messenger RNA vaccines, would be approved immediately under a declaration of emergency and an emergency use authorization instead of having to wait the usual 10 years. And so they get a tremendous return on their investment by creating a pandemic, creating a hoax, creating lockdowns that weren't necessary and doing all this other stuff, simply because they were able to demonize hydroxychloroquine. No one even heard of ivermectin until recently, at least I didn't. Vitamin D and zinc and the other things that basically kill the coronavirus and prevent you from getting it. That, of course, good health, fresh air, sunshine, lose some weight. That's what I'm working on. And these other things. And so because of the good information, the good work we're doing here, I've been canceled on Facebook, which is fine because when Mike Lindell gets his bigger site going, we're gonna be on that. We're gonna be on Parler. I just have to talk to the Parler folks and see if they can get those big colorful memes that Facebook has because they seem to be rather effective. Anyway, I got Gene on the line. I don't want to hold up too much longer. Although I have more time with Gene these days.
In these times of trial and tribulation, of epidemic and or economic crisis, of personal challenge and societal collapse, there is one place you can retreat, recharge, and re-energize to take on the world. That place is the Life Coach Report with Gene Vernig here on Action Radio. What better way to start your day?
Yes, but they ate a bunch of walnuts for everyone in the year.
Good
morning. Good morning, everyone.
So they canceled me. I got censored.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Greg, that doesn't surprise me. The reason I say that, the other day, I don't remember what you're even, so the post was about, but yeah. I think Sally just needs to take a breath, and you talk about a bitter person. I mean, she may not be a bitter person in real life, but in her writing, it comes across as she is just miserable. And so It's just like, I would just say to everybody out there, you know, just look before you post something. It's like, read what it says and how are you coming across and how do you want to come across? Because sometimes sometimes when I say things, and I just said it earlier today to someone and I offended him, and I'm just like, you know, just whatever you do, it's like people may take it the wrong way. People may take it the right way, or people may take it totally different than what you could have even have thought possible. But the thing is, when you do write something, when you do say something, know that what you speak, what you write, what you say, your actions all have consequences. And sometimes people do take it the wrong way. But also what you want to do, too, is look at how are you coming across? Is that how you want to come across? And sometimes, and actually, Greg, you know what? I was going to respond something to her. And then I erased it. And I was like, well, that's just not coming from a good heart. So I just.
Well, see, you're too nice. We have to work on that, Gene. We got to toughen you up.
Yeah, well, she may be the nicest person around, but as I said, how she comes across, she just comes across as one hate-filled person, and I think that is just so sad. But
yeah.
What I want to talk to today is just to go off on a tangent, and then we come back to that. But yeah, I'm glad you're going to Parler or you're doing more on there, because you know what? I think it's so sad that we live in this country, and now, not just now, but it has been going on for a little while, what people say, it's like, if it's not what certain people want to hear, then it's wrong. It's just like the Georgia voter, what the act they signed. And, you know, now the National League Baseball, the All-Star Game is going, not going to be there anymore. And, you know, Coca-Cola speaks out and Delta speaks out. It just cracked me up because I listened to something the other day, and I listened to something earlier this morning, and both places referenced Delta. How ironic that voter ID, they want to have voter ID when you vote. And the CEO of Delta is just upset about it. Oh, my goodness, he's upset. And yet, ironic.
Where's he from anyway? Is he Australian or what? He's not even American. Have you listened to him? I don't know where he's from.
But the audacity or the ironic thing is, how many times do we have to show our ID to get on the plane? So if ID is not important, we should not have to have an ID. And now, coming up, in October or whatever, we can't just use certain driver's license. Oh, no, because they're not going to be official anymore. You have to then have a passport. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? He can say, oh, you don't need a voter ID to vote, but you need an ID to get on a plane? Where's the hypocrisy in that? And where's the outcry and people being upset about that? Say, not as I do. But
yeah, no,
I was going to say, for people, what I want to talk to you for briefly this morning is morning rituals. And the reason that's important is because when you first wake up, or we first wake up in the morning, we're kind of like an open slate. It's not until we put our feet to the floor and really start moving that reality sets in. And so we want to make sure that our thoughts first thing in the morning are, one, positive, and like, let's say when you open your eyes, the first thing you think of is, oh, my God, I got to go to work today. I don't want to go to work today. I hate my job, whatever. The thing that you want to do is think of something else. Think of, before you open your eyes, just envision you love what you're doing and get into that feeling mode of you love how that feels.
But what if you don't love
what
you're
doing? What you love.
And but what if you don't love what you're doing?
That's good. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. But you want to think, then you can even envision how happy it makes you feel, or how invigorated it makes you feel, or whatever. The thing is, you want to start your day thinking positive versus opening your eyes and say, oh, God, I'm still living. Or, oh God, another day. I don't want to do this over again, or I just don't really want to, whatever your thoughts may lead. Some people don't always start their days in a positive way. You want to tell your subconscious mind, you know, you're getting the feeling state, getting in the thinking state of being in a place that you love or that you're appreciated or you feel appreciated, regardless, because your subconscious mind doesn't know if it's true or false. But if you do that every day, soon you will job that makes you feel that way or that situation or that whatever. But, yeah, that's what you want to do. And you also, when you first get up too, do some jumping jacks, stretch, just get your body going, invigorate yourself before you start the day as well. Work out the kinks and then drink plenty of water. And so those are just good things, ways to start the day. And then you can go full force into whatever you're doing. and that can be like what you're doing, Greg, on Action Radio, because there sure is a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things to talk about. But
as soon as she said, morning ritual, I was immediately transported back to the Karate Kid. And so Ralph Macchio, I forgot what his character name is in the movie, but he walks into to Mr. Miyagi. I've forgotten his name too. Oh, Ken Morita, I think his name was. Anyway, coolest guy, right? So Macchio walks in and says, "Hey man, what are you doing?" "Hey, morning ritual. Hi, very good. Okay, my name is Karate Good. Relax off. Hi." Anyway, so he like talks about morning ritual. I said, "Well, that sounds like fun. I don't know what my morning ritual is, because, my commute is about 30 feet, bed, bathroom, kitchen, desk. That's my commute. It's really great, So working at home, we should talk about working at home, too. But I wake up with my head flooded with thoughts. I mean, I go from off to, 100% in a nanosecond. I don't know if most people do that. But this is the ADHD curse. Is that you have all kinds of really interesting thoughts that will play in your head the second you wake up, and there's no delay. You can't get away from it. It's just boom. So I think a big part of my morning is just kind of like putting them into different categories and arranging in my head, because I have to arrange what I'm going to talk about. And so there's a big arrangement process that goes on with that whole thing. You still there? I'm hearing some clicking on the line.
Nope, I'm still here. Yep.
Okay, that's good. Okay. All right. But, yeah.
It could be just connection today.
Well, you never know what's happening. As far as folks like Sally Smith and Evan Klimple, the two people that are on my page is public. So if you're going to post on my page and you're going to be nasty, I'm going to talk about you. Okay. And so I've always tried to engage these folks. I've tried to stay away from personal attacks. But what I noticed about leftists, and maybe you can explain this, is they never talk about themselves. They always talk about what they want to say about you, what they want to project onto you. They'll say things like, "Well, you're a murderer, you're a rapist, you're a, you believe in this, and you want to support the drug dealing, Congressman Gates," or whatever it is they're talking about. It's never them. And what they say about you is completely untrue, but it's like wishful thinking. So they want to think that, all white people are racist, conservatives. They want to think that there was an actual, armed insurrection January 6th when nothing of the kind happened. It was more what I call the Capitol Hill Invitational walk-in. They say the worst things all the time, and they never bring it to them. They never discuss them. And I think that's one of the features of projection, is that you're, whatever your hatred is, you have to project it. Whatever your prejudices are, you have to project them. You have to take your racism in dividing people up into various identity groups and project that onto conservatives so that you don't have to feel bad about your racism, but you say that all conservatives are racist, even though it's not true. It's a fascinating dynamic. I wonder if you can kind of explain it a little bit, this whole, leftist preoccupation with it's almost like they're obsessed with projection. Can you help me out here?
Well, the thing is, we believe a lot of times in what keeps us safe. And sometimes people are sheep. They're just followers instead of, and why? There's many reasons why. Sometimes it's just fear. Fear of speaking their truth. Fear of, going against someone else who they may respect or love. Or it could be, one, not going away from the flock.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with that, it's amazing, I think. But we're getting a lot of that now. And what is it? It's like the Democrats or the one group of people, they seem to love. And I don't know why so much. It's like their way or no way. And then if you have an opinion differing from what they believe, they make you sound like you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? Why? And it could be fear is their because why? They don't want to know that or find out that what they've been thinking for all these years may not have been the truth, may not have been right. And there's nothing wrong with finding out the truth, finding out your truth. And it's not a thing about saying, oh, you were wrong because you believed this all those years. No, life is a process. And we believe a lot of times as much as our mind will allow. Meaning, stay in a relationship. Why did you stay in a relationship when you knew it was a bad relationship? It was not a healthy relationship for either person, but you stayed in there. And why? You know, you may be getting all these signals. Oh, you mm-hmm. need to get out. You need to get out. You need to get out. But you stay there. And so it's the same thing with what we're seeing now. And why do they do that? I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi. Look at Chuck Schumer. Look at Biden. Look at Harris. AOC, all those. It's like if you don't believe in what they say, then what? You're anti-American. You're racist. You know, you're racist. I was thinking driving in today after listening to some stuff. You want to know one of the biggest, well, a couple of biggest racist people in America right now? Stacey Abrams, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesse Jackson.
Has she ever told the
Al
truth
Johnson.
In her life?
You know,
is she capable of telling the truth?
I don't think so. But you
I don't
know
think
what?
So either.
She's used the victim card to look to where it propelled her. And why? Because places like CNN, MSNBC, all those places love to have people on like her. Why? Because it continues the narrative of what they want people to believe versus believe in the truth. Yeah. And so you can say, well, I don't know. But the thing is, too, I think when you talk about two parties and you say, okay, if the Republicans would start speaking out, I mean, there's no reason, like even with Gates, I don't know if what they're saying is true. But the thing is, you have to look at all the ironic things that happened now that this is coming out. Okay, well, who has he ticked off? Many people, number one. And number two, it's like, who has a vendetta against him? Many people, they don't want him in power. You know, not that he's got, I mean, really, not that he's got much power, but to the Democrats, he's got a lot of power. They think, because so many Democrats, what are they? They are the victim, too. They love playing the victim card. Oh, well, we lost again, or it's Trump's fault, or it's this person's fault. It's like, no, take responsibility for yourself and what you did and go on from there. But I think as a whole, we people things, and are we following the group? Are we following the crowd because we don't want to be opposite, or we don't want to be outside the crowd or known as someone that goes away from the crowd? But you know what? When we have our biggest growth, often it is going against the crowd because we are paving our own way. But also, I don't know. I think the bottom line is this. When you get into a negative spin or a negative vibe, it's so easy to just be like a cat chasing its tail and constantly stay in there. And, you know, the bottom line is this. They say, well, where's the proof? Or he's like Gabe. Yeah, he's just a pervert. He's just this. He's just that. But it's interesting how people want it. Oh, you're innocent until proven guilty for certain people. But for others, it's like, nope, you're guilty right away, and you have to prove you're innocent.
Well, I call that guilty by wishful thinking. You know, they want them to be guilty, so they proclaim them guilty with no evidence whatsoever. I've been just doing a little playing on Facebook because I've been listening to you, all part of that multitasking thing that we ADHD people are so good at. And I know I get reported by one of those two. I think Sally Smith is a false persona of somebody who was on the show earlier, who also gave a false name, and who I've had dealings with before, who's been, you know, basically trolling, complaining and doing all kinds of things on all the pages I have, trying to sabotage everything we do here. Well, of course, it's not working. But the other person, Evan, has disappeared. So these folks who I think complained to Facebook about me have disappeared. In other words, they're terrified of some retaliation. So they've blocked me. They've taken all their comments off my site. So the cowards, you know, tuck tail and ran, you know. And so I guess they think I'm as evil as they are, that I would suddenly retaliate and write nasty things on all over their page. I was thinking of actually commenting, you know, because I've restrained myself from commenting on their pages at all, thinking, okay, fine, you want to be on my page. I'm a public person. You know, I can take it, and we'll just have your comments stand. And I leave their comments on, you know, as vile and nasty as they get. But they don't seem to have the same, you know, appreciation for debate that we do. So, I they both disappeared. Sally Smith, the commenter on my page, has blocked me and pretty much disappeared. That's a fake, you know, profile anyway. But the other one, Evan Klimple, Evan's gone. All his comments on my page are gone. It's really fascinating. And so, you know, it's like the bully that would, like, you know, whack you from behind when you weren't looking and then run away, you know, because they don't, you know, because they're too cowardly to face you. This is what we have going on here. So it's the left is based on cowardice. They're based on fear, and then based on, like I say, wishful thinking. They think that we are as evil as they are, which isn't true, because we're not canceling anybody. We're not doing the things that they do. And now I've got a restricted account. It says account restricted. Only I can see this. Let me see what it says here. This is fascinating. So the thing that got started was that I posted about the Wuhan lab. Like I say, the story that came out of Daily Wire and One American News, that Dr. Fascist was illegally funding research into gain-of-function research, which makes viruses, you know, more deadly, more contagious. Wow, what a great thing to do. And that, they said, somehow violated their community standards. So what they're really saying is truth violates Facebook standards, which is kind of interesting. Truth violates leftist standards. And this is a rather interesting thing that I don't think we've really thought about, is that the truth, they can't, you know, Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. It's true, they can't. So how do you live your whole life as a lie? Go ahead. Well, Jean, what do you think?
Well, some people, yeah, no, some people do. Some people do, because one, it keeps, mm-hmm. it makes them feel safe. It makes them feel safe, and it's what they know. And
the lie?
You know, what yeah. I mean, some people live a lie because that's all they know, and they're afraid to change it.
Yes.
It's where they're at. But one thing I want to remind people, too, you don't do tit for tat. That's never a good thing. And I know so many, I've dated so many people, like, okay, I say something and I'm like, I don't even realize what I say ticked them off. But for some reason, they take
you,
it the wrong way, or
you,
personal or whatever.
You're such
a
sweetheart.
Yeah. So anyway, then they retaliate. I'm just like, but why does anybody do that? It's like, if you were hurt or offended, and mm-hmm. I tell this to everybody, offended by what I say, just ask me to clarify what I mean. It's like,
yeah,
isn't
exactly.
that simple? It's not right away. It's the knee-jerk reaction. Well, you said this, and I said that, but
well,
what?
There's
did
a difference
you
between
my tone? I was joking. You know, it's like, or whatever, but don't ever do tit for tat or revenge. Revenge will get you nowhere, and it puts you in a lower vibration. You just send people love and just like, hey, go on, be healthy, be happy, whatever, just bye, you know?
Yeah. I'm still back when you said I've dated so many people, and I definitely want to hear the stories. You and Shelby were going to do a dating show at one point, so we need to get back to that.
We still will, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
for people
is
like,
conservative.
So, I've been.
Well, now here's my question for you, though. Is conservative dating different than leftist dating? In other words, are leftists waiting to be offended by each other? Are they always picking on each other? Are they lying to each other like crazy? Are they projecting wishful thinking of horrible thoughts onto each other? I mean, we should do like a little parody on a leftist date. In fact, I can write that down. I like that idea. Parody on leftist
date. You know, the thing is, I think if two people that have the same beliefs, you know, they're going to be happy. You know, they may be happy together because they believe the same thing. Me personally, I don't believe that you have to be with someone that has the same. I mean, I don't want to be with someone that has the same thoughts, because then it'd be boring. It's like, I always like to hear the other side's view. However, some people don't want to talk about, you know, they may have a view like, okay, I don't want pee. Well, why don't you like pee? And then it finds out, well, because your dad liked Dan, your dad. I'm like, okay, so you're not going to like peas because of that. You know what I mean? Versus I don't like peas because they're squishy, they smell, whatever, you know? It's
okay.
Like very interesting how we all have our own viewpoints. But I definitely, I would think with anybody, it's like in life, we don't want to tear people down. We want to bring them up. And so sometimes if you can't say anything nice about the person, don't say anything at all. And I think that's I think adults could live by that more. Yeah, because – or I even live by the viewpoint that if you don't like someone's thought, you know, viewpoint, you don't have to – you don't have to, you know, cut them down at the knees. You could just say, well, have you ever thought of it this way? Or I believe this. But everybody should have a right to their own opinion and feel free to voice their opinion. There's nothing wrong with that, but we're getting to the point now where if you don't think a certain way, then we're wrong and we don't have that right to voice our opinion. It's just like the senators or congresspeople, whoever, in Washington, they was it last week or whenever they're filing or they filed a lawsuit about or to President Trump because of what happened on the 6th of January, that they have now a post-traumatic stress or they were fearful of their life and all this stuff. It's like, well, isn't that ironic? Look at the people at the border and all the people coming across and those people that have lost their lives because of some of the stuff that went on. And plus, all the kids that are coming, well, not even kids, adults, whoever, are coming across with COVID. We have to run around with masks on. There, they don't have to use a mask. Plus, they're like, I don't even know how many, 1,000% or more over capacity with what the children should be in each place. It's like, where is the outcry of that? And then with Biden not allowing reporters down there, oh, they're only going to cherry pick what they showed. It's like, well, right there, you know, something's not right. And so I just want to tell people, please, if you know others that don't allow you to have a voice, make sure you're not that person. Let someone speak. And you can always say, well, that may be your opinion. However, I believe this and why. You know, if you just say, well, I believe this, I think we miss a point or a great opportunity. That's when we need to take a step back and say, this is why I believe this. And you may be able to change someone's point of view because they actually, one, if they listen, and two, they may really not have had any idea because of where they get their news or information from.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about what's going on with my congressman, Matt Gaetz, and he used to be on the show. And again, I'm reaching out to his people trying to get him back on the show because we did some amazing work and a whole bunch of ideas. We were talking about the Mueller Commission being the insurance policy that was talked about, and we were 6 months ahead of everybody else. So we actually got some really good stuff done, and I'm hoping to get back to that. I think his staff did not serve him well. I think they tried to make him into this rock star of politics, and it was all image and no substance. And so the question I have for you, you know, being a life coach, is that how easy is it for people to have their ego fed by people that maybe have ulterior motives, you know, that their own fame and fortune may rest on making somebody else famous. And I think that's kind of what happened. I'm not mentioning names on purpose because I know some of the players. But the point is, Matt, who is a public figure, so obviously I'm going to mention him, but how easy is it for politicians to be, you know, seduced by the dark side, the fame, the recognition, the being on all the national shows, and you kind of lose touch with the district. And I think that's maybe what happened. I'm trying to get him, you know, back more in touch with the district with some ideas that I've already proposed to the staff there. But that fame thing, and it may not be the best thing for you. You kind of lose touch of who you are and what your job is, which is to serve your constituents. I think that is something that may happen to Congressman Gaetz. I don't believe the sex scandal for a second. I think that's a ploy. Yeah.
Right.
What do you think?
I think what you're saying is true. The ego, I mean, the ego loves to be stroked. The ego loves to have people fawn over it. Really, it does. And when you get into Washington and I don't know, I've not been there, but I would assume And then, you know,
I have.
But the thing is, with that, I just look at other people, how their job totally changed who they were. And what happens is you get there and you don't want to just be one of the many. Most people, it's like, ooh, they want to shine. And so how do you shine? Well, you have to schmooze up, and I've never been a schmoozer, so you know I'm the opposite. It's just like no, I'm not gonna get anywhere in life by kissing up to anybody. I'm gonna get in where I go in life because of who I am and what I do, and not for the person that's gonna lift me up because of stuff I really don't believe in. But the thing is, like that, you get there and you're like, oh, so many have this idea that, well, they're going to do this, this, and this. And then they get there and they realize it's just the good old boy network or, you know, good old swamp network. And what happens then? They get, I mean, money. You can't tell me that there's not paybacks. And the reason I say that, how many politicians go there, look at their bank account, and then look at their bank account when they retire or they get out of their, you know, they're voted out or whatever. And it's amazing how many have millions of dollars where they were just pretty much scraping by before that. And so you can't tell me there's not bribes, kickbacks, or whatever. And, you know, you start getting that stuff.
Well, it's a little more subtle for legality.
The fancy cars, the fancy meals, the recognition. Yeah, they're good. Of course it's easy to then, you know, go off the deep end or, you know, sway away from your ideals. But, you know, the thing is, it doesn't happen to everybody. And number two, you can always come back. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, this is why I put up my warning periodically to all my good friends like you, say that if it ever happens to me, I need you guys to pull me aside and go, Greg, you know, now that you have 5 million listeners, you know, don't be a jerk. You know, and I mean, I need that. And I think everybody should, with the potential for being in that kind of position, which I hope we are, and I hope we all rise together as the tide lifts all our boats. But the point is that I'm counting on you guys, if something like that does happen to me, that, you know, you'd be good enough friends to say something. And I would think that anybody going into politics would do that too. You'd get kind of your guardian angels. Yeah, you know, for lack of a better term, and say, look, I'm counting on you folks. Here's what I need you to do. You're my best friends. You've known me when I was, you know, nothing. You know, when something, you know, especially when you get elected to Congress or you get your first Oscar or whatever it is that all of a sudden you're in the public spotlight, you get your Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame. You know, wouldn't it make sense to sort of tell your really good friends, hey, this might happen to me. I don't know because I've never been in that position. You don't know what it's like until you win the lottery, to what it's like to win the lottery. You don't know what it's like. You know, like I say, and I believe this show is going to get that 5 million listeners. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. What I don't know is how I'm going to react to it. And so this is why I'm sort of like inoculating myself and saying, hey, you know, watch out for me. I need your help. You know, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and the thing is, none of us ever knows how we'll respond until we get to a situation. It's easy to play armchair quarterback, and it's so amazing. I even look at my own life, and there's some situations that I had many years to prepare, and I just then the crap hit the fan, and I was just like, I was not prepared. You know, you would have thought that, wow, I had so long to prepare, and not that it would have been easy, but it would have been easier because I was able to say goodbyes, I was able to do this, to do that, whatever. But then when it happened, you're just like, oh my gosh, I thought it would have been so much easier. And so it's just like in any situation, and that's why it's so important for people to forgive. You're not forgiving the person for what they did, maybe to you, but you forgive because you're forgiving yourself. You want to move on, because if someone does something wrong to you, a lot of times they don't even realize it. So we're stuck in, oh, they did this, this, this. And they're living their life, enjoying their life, and you're kind of stuck in that, like, energy of, I can't believe they did that, they did this, you know, and victim, whatever. But, you know, it's, as I said, it's easy to say, oh, well, that will never be me. But until you get into that situation, you won't know how you respond, because it's like, how I am today is not who I am tomorrow, and it's not who I was yesterday. We grow, we evolve, and sometimes, you know, we get smacked down and we learn a lesson or we learn something, and then that changes us. But
well, I've had that happen already. I've been through that experience a few times.
But just know, too, that, you know, it's like, okay, it's always good to reflect on who we are at any given moment, because if you don't like the person you're becoming, take a step back and ask, okay, what qualities don't you like, or what needs to change in you? And it may be, you know, let's just say you've got a lot of listeners now and you're making a lot of money. And now to you, having, you know, expensive cars is an important thing. Whatever. It could be just whatever. It could be jewelry.
Well,
you know, yeah.
And, just a couple
so
of them.
So whatever it is,
you know.
Doesn't matter. But, you know, and so you live your life, okay, to buy the next shiny Bentley or the next shiny whatever. And so it's like, and I don't want to begrudge anybody anything. If that's what you want, go for it. But ask yourself, why? Why? What? Well, not even why, but ask yourself, because that's, you never ask why, really. But ask, would make you
happy?
But
I know why.
And then,
I know why.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to have a Jaguar XKE or an Aston Martin like James Bond drove, okay? Because fast cars are fun. It's fun to go fast. I don't know if there's necessarily a deep psychological inner meaning to this. You know, people that don't have those cars, they'll say, well, he's a little inadequate, isn't he? You know, he has to have a sports car. That's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of crap. It's like guys having a midlife crisis. To me, it's a midlife awakening. At least it was in my case. And the idea of being able to play with toys, you know, big, expensive, you know, boy toys is fun. Or I call them man toys. And I don't know if women feel the same way about this, but it's too bad. Because I think some of the most amazing, you know, and beautiful things that people have ever created are really fast sports cars. They're absolutely gorgeous. They look like they're moving fast when they're standing still. That's where the word streamlining came from. And so to be able to take something that is an incredible piece of machinery and master it and go whipping through the roads, you know, and the curves and the highways and everything else, and especially the top down, singing at the top of your lungs, that's just fun. And so we've never really talked about this, but there is sort of like a mesh of humanity and technology. You know, I've flown airplanes for years. I had my first flight when I was 12 years old. I'm going to get back into flying as soon as we get money. So my really big toy is going to be a jet, something like a personal jet that looks like a military trainer, you know, two seats, got a big engine, fully aerobatic. I'm going to be doing, you know, 10,000 foot loops and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because I want to. You know, there's no deep-seated philosophical, you know, whatever, boy toy man crisis, you know, well, there's none of that. I just want to do it. And I think we overlook the simple when we get into the complex for the people that don't want you to do it. So in other words, if someone is jealous of you, if they're jealous of your Ferrari, if they're jealous of your, you know, your personal jet, something that they either can't get or rationalize they don't want because they can't get, they don't want you to have it either. That's the whole leftist coveting. You can't have guns because, you know, I might use them badly. The projection thing comes into it again. But I think the idea of just, you know, that sort of melding of humanity and technology can be really a hell of a lot of fun. And we haven't really talked about that. But do women feel the same way? I mean, would you be happy in a 1960 Corvette, you know, with the four headlights up front, or the nice little grill panel, you know, sort of going down Route 66, top down, you know, playing some good old 60s rock on the AM radio? I mean, doesn't that sound like fun?
You know, it does, but yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, no. I was on such a roll. I better stop.
No, my ideas would be a different kind of fun. To me, feel like driving down the road with the top down. I feel a better connect. And this is so weird. There's no rational thing to this. But I feel a more direct connection with spirit, with God. And I don't know what it is, but every time I've had a convertible or a car with a sunroof and I can open it up and I'm just like, it's amazing how it just like, ooh, you talk about, you know, changing a mood or find something that lights you up and makes you happy. That is my happy place. Even if I'm stuck in traffic or, you know, it just lights me up. And so, but that's the thing is, I know people cannot always just let go of people if they're downers. But if you hang around people that do not bring you up, that just tear you down, get rid of them. Get rid of them. And I'm in a point now where there's someone that I'm close to that he always thinks I bring him down by what I say. And he reads way into what I say. And I'm just like, you know what? That's not a healthy relationship either because, you know, I am not a hurtful person, and that's not how I come across. And so it's like if that's how you constantly feel, then it's like then we should not be friends either because it's like you don't want to hang around people that want you bring down or they bring you down because life is really too short. And even though you could say, oh, life really sucks right now, but there's so much in life that we should be grateful for. You know, and I said this before, I think we are on the cusp, and I could be totally wrong. I could be living my head in the sand, but I really believe this is such an awakening for so many people in this country. This election stuff is going to be a huge awakening because there's still people, many people that don't believe there was election fraud. And it's like, I always say, well
they don't want to
believe it. Why did certain people want honesty? Why didn't they want, you know, and that's when you know when there was stuff going on, usually because there's people that don't want to find things out. And even if you're going to find out, oh, there really was no fraud. Oh, okay, so there wasn't any. But why don't you just allow it to be checked out first instead of, no, there isn't. It's just someone spreading a false narrative. Oh, there they go again, their false narrative. And it's like, no, it's like if inquisitive minds want to know, let them learn the truth. And one way by learning the truth is to investigate. There's nothing wrong with that. And I know some people, it's like, you just can't, I was going to say, you can't disown your family if, you know, they're negative, especially like if you have a family member that's living with you because they need, you know, they physically need help or whatever. I get that. But there's always ways to look at things and at least try to find the good qualities in any certain person because if you keep looking and focusing on the negative, every negative quality of that person's going to show up and you're going to be like, you're just going to be like a fly to those electronic lights where the flies just go right to them, you know?
A zap light.
Like, yes, exactly. So it's just try to break the cycle of you have a negative, even if it's your spouse or something.
Now, wait a minute. You're a life coach. You know better. Why would you have somebody in your life that, you know, the red flags are there? Dump them. Get rid of them. You don't need this person. I'm going to bring Josie and see what
she thinks. You would think life, you'd be like, boom, like that, I'm done. But it's like there's so much more to every decision that is made. And
you want to help him. You want to save him. Come on, tell the truth. We know what's going on.
There's many different reasons. But I'll tell you one story. About years ago, I was with this guy, and we eventually broke up. And the reason – I didn't want to tell you the reason why we broke up because
– you don't have to. Yeah. This is just – it's just us talking, but there's a few people listening.
The thing is, what I want to say is, you know, before that I was like, I can't believe people would stay with someone abusive. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. But until you're in that situation, it's like I said before. But when we're there, we see things totally different. And so but that's when, too, we always have to know and believe that we are stronger than any situation, or we are stronger than what anybody ever tells us, because sometimes people do say things because they want to hurt us, they want to bring us down, they want to keep us small. Why? Because maybe otherwise, if we're not that, we're gonna move away from them, we're gonna be better than them. And I don't want to say better as a person, no, we're just bettering ourselves. And so what happens, we grow apart, we move apart. And there's nothing wrong with that, but people sometimes will try to almost like suffocate another person in thinking that, well, I was just trying to help. Yeah, you were trying to help keep them small by keeping them contained versus letting them grow their wings and really fly.
You know, I'll tell you a quick story, and I got Josie on the line here too. So I'm glad you could stick around for a few minutes extra. And Josie, we can go into the next hour a little bit. I got a ton of things to talk about. You're probably going to want to stick around for my Gates conversation. But when I was in Europe,
I'm going to have to spend a few minutes. But yeah,
I'll be quick. That's fine. I'll just tell you one more story. But when I was in Europe, I'm 22. I'm out of college. I'm bumming all around Europe, having a great time. I met a couple of women from Kansas. They're traveling together and going to school. I think it was in Austria. And so their art school, architecture school, I forgot what it was. But, you know, when they went to Europe, their friends were like, you know, why are you going to Europe? Well, I got this great opportunity. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to travel. It's going to be fascinating. And the reaction was with their friends, what, aren't we good enough for you anymore? That said everything. It had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with the people who wanted their new experience to open their wings. And they weren't restricting the other people from going, but the people who didn't want to go didn't want the other people to experience that either, because they either couldn't, didn't want to, or didn't value it. That, to me, you have no right to do that. And that's what the left does. The left says, you can't experience this. You can't be free. We don't want to be free. Therefore, you can't be free. We don't want to have guns. Therefore, you can't have guns. We want speech restricted so that only good thoughts are thought, so you can't speak freely. It's this massive projection assault that's going on right now, and it goes to even the people that don't want you to say, well, you can't have that opinion. I mean, you know, I actually, and let me give you one more second. I actually had, you know, back in my single life in San Francisco, you know, after my marriage, you know, and I remember one person, well, it happened a few times, but one person actually walked away from me. You know, we met, we were going for a walk, having a nice conversation. And I don't do politics on dates, certainly not right away. But she said something, she said something political. All right. And of course I responded, and all of a sudden she stops and looks at me and says, oh, you're one of them. And I said, what, an alien? What, do I have three heads all of a sudden? No, I was a conservative. And she looks at me and says, I can't talk to you anymore. And she actually walked away. That was it. I said, huh? You know, simply because of my politics, this woman literally turned, you know, 90 degrees and just started walking away. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, damn, that's one of the single weirdest things that's ever happened to me. But that's the power of ideology if you let it dominate your life. Hey, Josie, you want in on this conversation? We're having fun here.
That's a good thing, because you didn't waste any more time on someone that didn't appreciate you for who you were. So,
yeah, I didn't have a chance to waste any more time.
Crazy. Well, have a great week. Bye.
Okay, bye, Jean. Oh, that was fun. I guess
well,
we just got her for
that. Happening.
Go ahead, Joseph.
That's what's happening with Hollywood. They make all these movies with guns and machine guns and everything, but they don't want for you to have a gun.
Yeah.
Only them. And they can promote their movies and everything. So it's just, they're a bunch of fake. But anyway, how are you this morning? Good?
I'm doing very well. I got violated for a post that I did. They said I violated, you know, Facebook's, you know, standards, which meant I told the truth. And I posted the thing about the Wuhan lab. But I think because of all the – I was talking to Gene about this a little earlier – all the objections from the leftists, you know, Evan and Sally.
So are you in Facebook jail?
Well, for a week, yeah. I think they complained about my post. So here's what I'm going to do. Yeah. So I can't post the show anymore. That's the big problem. So everything's going to Parler. So I'll be posting my shows on Parler. I'm going to post all my articles on Parler. My Facebook account is going to go to strictly the memes, because the algorithms aren't set up to do the memes, but they are set up for articles. So they'll take an article, and this is a big one on One American News right now, about the Wuhan lab, about the gain-of-function research. I reported it in my show.
Yeah.
You remember those series they did March 15th, 16th, 17th?
Oh, yeah.
About how the vaccine came before the virus, all right? So that's just more evidence of that. So I've added that in, and so that's what's going on. So I'll be in Facebook jail for a week, but when I come out of it, I'm not going to give them the chance to do this to me again, because obviously there are trolls that are reporting my page because it's public. They're a bunch of communists.
And you know who are the fact checkers? A bunch of stinking Chinese students.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even Americans.
Well, I don't think it's Chinese. You know, I mean, in China, you got to remember that there's like a billion people under communist rule that would not choose to be under communist rule. So you know, and it's fascinating that China was one of the first countries. I'm talking communist government China, the CCC, the CCP, the Communist CCP. Committee of China, or Chinese Communist Party. There we go. Was one of the first countries to pop up on our international map. Russia was second. So they immediately
picked
up. Of course they're listening. I want to welcome the Politburo, the Kremlin. I want to welcome you folks from Beijing who are listening in. And hey, this is what freedom sounds like. Assholes. Anyway, sorry. Couldn't resist. But that's what's going on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to let you know this morning there's a lot of trouble with the border of Colombia and Venezuela, the border Arauca is the border with Venezuela and Colombia. And what's happening is that a lot of terrorists are arriving in Venezuela, and Chinese too.
Okay.
And what happens is they're sneaking like refugees to Colombia, you know. So it's big trouble in Colombia right now. And about 1,600 kids, migrant kids, are in Colombia right now in a shelter. And I don't know, the Colombian government is upset, but they didn't want to close the doors on those little kids by themselves. Just the same thing they're doing here in America.
So these are kids from Venezuela who went to Colombia for sanctuary kind of thing? Refugees?
Yeah. They're escaping Venezuela to Colombia. And there's a lot of people escaping and entering in Chile, South America also, Chile. And a lot of the people arriving in Chile are terrorists. So they have an organization right now organizing how many people are escaping to go to Chile, and they're not legitimate Venezuelans. So Chile is going to have a huge problem in their hands, let me tell you.
Yeah. You know, this is good to know, and this is what scares me about what's going on the border. And when they talk to most of the people that are coming into the country, you know, from all the Central American and some South American countries, and who knows where else, like Yemen, they caught a couple of Yemenese terrorists the other day.
Yeah, all those places in the Middle East. Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem, though. When they start committing terrorist acts or when they start killing Americans, it's too late. They're already here. You know, and it's like we know this is going to happen. You know, we're praying it doesn't.
Yep.
But you put enough illegal aliens in the country, they're going to commit crimes because they're already illegal. They don't care. They've already accepted a criminal lifestyle. And when asked, you know, about their refugee status, they all say, "Oh no, we're fine. We just want a job." Well, that's fine. Then get a job in your own damn country. Fix up your country. You know, especially in El Salvador, they got a president that wants to fix up the country. Well, go there. And those videos that Pianki posted on my Facebook page a while back, you know, there's a lot of areas in these countries, in Honduras and Guatemala, that are kind of nice, you know. And these people showing up at the border, they don't look malnourished. You know, a lot of them are pretty chubby. You know, they've got good clothes.
Well,
they've got, you know, new backpacks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they've got a funded paid vacation into the United States, wherever they want to go. And they're being directed go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these migrants in Mexico, they're getting so much clothes, so much free stuff. And one of the Mexican guys was reporting, because I watch the Mexican news directly, one of the Mexican guys, he was saying that these people are throwing all this clothes. There's so much clothes. They use it one day and then they throw it out because they got so much. So many people are bringing to them. And I think it's the organization that they're with, the George Soros, Obama, Hollywood, Venezuela's in it. They got their hands in it in China. So they're giving them everything, and they're being paid off. They're being paid off as far as Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala. To the more family that you gather, the more money you get until you get to the border. And they're telling them, this Mexican guy was reported, that they're being told, do not accept to go to other countries offering you political asylum, only America. So they're well trained. And you know who they have? They have a lot, they have a few, not a lot, they have a few Americans from our country in Honduras guiding all these people, together with a bunch of people from Honduras. So we have Americans over there doing this to our country. They're well paid by the Democrats, and also a lot of Democrat lawyers are at the border helping and representing illegals. This is horrible.
Well, they're getting more, you know, illegals are getting better treatment than Americans are. Americans have to have, the Democrats want us to have vaccine passports, and they want all these restrictions. They want to raise our taxes, and the illegal aliens are getting free health care, free, you know, you name it, free education, free everything. I call it foreign aid because these people are not Americans, and they're not coming here to be Americans. So I got a question, though. especially if you're hearing on the, I love the fact that you're listening to other nations' news, because we need to know that. We need to know what they're reporting, because it's generally going to be better than the crap that's coming out of the liberal news here.
They don't tell us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me this is a vote fraud scheme. This isn't an illegal alien. Well, it is an illegal alien problem, but these aliens are being used to, and they're put into Republican states to basically vote Democrat. And the whole, this is all a power play. So if this is in fact basically vote fraud, you know, can they be prosecuted? Can the Biden, you know, regime, the insurrection, and all these policies, can they be prosecuted as vote frauders because of where they're sending the people? I don't know if anybody's looked into that or even talked about it.
Well, the Democrats, their agenda is to bring, like we said before, their agenda is to bring all the illegals so they can be on their side. But truthfully, many of the illegals, like I reported before, they don't want to live in a communist country. They don't want to live in a dictatorship. So they vote Republican eventually. So that's why they bring in by the thousands to see who can stick into their side, you know. But that's their agenda. But when President Trump's return, we will deport so many back. I guarantee you that.
Well, I hope
so. We're going to find
them. But my philosophy is a little different. I mean, I agree with deportation, but that to me seems cumbersome, expensive, and it takes too long per person. What I think makes a lot more sense. Hold on a sec. Let me get through this. That civil asset forfeiture, and I'm going to talk to this with Claire, and she's like, "Well, they don't have anything." Well, they do after a while, but the long term. Illegal alien, the person that's been here 10, 20 years, you know, that's accumulated a whole bunch of stuff, businesses, bank accounts, credit cards, all these things. It's all been done illegally because they never should have been here. We start seizing those assets of long-term or even short-term. You know, you've been here a couple of years, or people that routinely go back and forth across the border and send our money out. If we start doing civil asset forfeiture against illegal aliens, and it can be done through the ITIN number, the IRS can do it. You know, it wouldn't be hard to, you know, if they can put $1,400 in everybody's account in a week, all right, if the government is that good and they have that kind of computer records, they can seize the assets of 30 million illegal aliens probably within a month. You know, and that would be such a mass, and then use it to pay down the debt. So, you know, that would be the smartest thing that we could do. Assuming, well, of course, we have to make Congress stop spending, you know, more money than they're taking in. But I've got a bill to do that, too. But if we could take all the assets that are accumulated by illegal aliens in this country and use it for debt reduction, that would cover the cost of them coming here illegally. And then, of course, not being able to accumulate anything, not being able to buy or rent a house or buy a car or work or have a bank account or a credit card or anything like that, there'd be no reason for them to stay. You know, and every reason they're coming here legally. You know. Yeah, go ahead.
You're right, but since they're being motivated to get here because they're offering free residence of the United States plus money, hey, why not come in? I think it was on Fox yesterday, or one of the shows actually that we were watching. They were saying that there's so many illegals already arriving in New York City. They're busing them over there. And they're giving them $28,000 cash per family, I believe. I don't know if it was per person. So they can get going to get a little apartment or whatever they're going to need and all that. So this is a disgrace to the working American families. And I totally disagree with what this government is doing.
Yeah, that's why they wanted New York and California wanted the illegal aliens counted in the census so they can get more money and get a bigger bailout.
Yeah.
And it's already happened. But, let's go back to my show yesterday, you know, where I talked about the pathway for Trump to get back in office. And you and I have a little different view on exactly how that's going to happen. I think it's going to happen by the states overturning their – not overturning, that's the wrong word – correcting their fraudulent Biden votes for the proper legal Trump electors. And then once the states do that, then it goes back to Congress. They have to do a recount of their electors, and they go, whoops, you know, we missed. But since Kamala Harris is opening the envelopes, she might say, I don't see anything here. Everything looks the same to me. She could just lie like she lies every other day. So then it has to go to the Supreme Court. And that's where I think this would get, just like in 2000, you know, we'll talk to Jonathan about that on Thursday. I guess that's tomorrow. No, it's yeah, a couple of days away. I think it's ended up in the Supreme Court, and I think they're going to be forced through the overwhelming evidence to not completely embarrass themselves and say, yeah, you know what, the Biden regime has to go. It was never a legitimate a government, and everything they did, you know, it basically is moot. And we go back to, you know, the last day of the Trump, you know, administration and start over from there. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
That's how I see it going.
We already
you see
know
it going a little differently.
We already know what's coming. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But I also wanted to let you know that all the material at the mm-hmm. border that this Mexican reporter was talking about, actually, and Janine was talking about it too, I think, Judge Janine. The materials that we mm-hmm. tax dollars pay, American payers have bought, they're sitting at the border for the wall, and the Mexicans are stealing a lot of the materials. A lot of the materials. There's so much money and materials laying in there.
Oh, stealing the wall?
The Biden administration said, bye-bye, everybody gone. I don't want no one here. And one of the companies, because I think there are several companies, I'm not sure, that provided all the materials, they have two guards guarding, I don't know how many miles in between where they have all this material to finish the wall. But the Mexican are stealing a lot of the materials
They're stealing
moment.
Our wall. We got to make them pay for it.
Yeah.
Go back to the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
Well, think about that. That's
they're
actually fascinating.
The
you know, because it's good steal. I'm sure it is. And if they're stealing. Well, here's the thing, too.
Yeah.
There are states that sued that said that, you know, the Biden insurrection couldn't do that. They couldn't stop wall construction. This money's been appropriated by Congress. The contracts are signed. They have no ability to do that. So one of the problems we have in this country is that people do things that they're not required to do. They give up their rights to, you know, their constitutional rights and wear masks and close their businesses when they don't have
mm-hmm.
to. You know, they could be, did you see the story? And I got to post, well, I can't post it. I'll have to post it on Parler now. Did you see the story of the priest in Canada who was from Poland who called the police when they came in to shut down his church? He said, you Nazis, you know, you Gestapo, get out of my church, come back with a warrant. That was perfect. That's what every church in this country should have done.
And they didn't want to leave. But you know what? I'm so proud. And you know, I have a sign on my door that we made that it says, notice, big letters. It says, masks are not required here. And I have a few of the nurses walking in with a mask, you know, about to open the door. I said, oh, thank God. And they pulled the mask off walking in my store. We need to start doing that.
If we start doing that on a regular basis, people will start wearing masks immediately. You know, if you give people permission not to wear masks, you know, if you have a story that says, you know, masked people not welcome, you know, take your mask off if you want to come in here. You know, we want to see your face. You know, I mean, that would be huge. You know, the first corporation that does that is going to get just an amazing amount of business. You know, so it's only a question of time.
So I'm not
goes.
A corporate. Actually, I am a corporation. Legally, I am a corporation. I'm just U.S. doing business as Ruth. But I can do whatever I want. It's my property, my business. So,
so
I have a big sign, and people are excited about it.
Is there still a mask mandate in your town there, or no?
No.
Well, that's good.
But my law runs. By law, Ron DeSantis said you don't have to wear the mask in the state of Florida unless a corporate wants for you to wear it. So that's the problem we're having in Florida right now.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other issue. I was just looking. I think I found it. Police break up Good Friday church service in London, and then the pastor kicks out police trying to shut down the Easter service. I'll put them on Parler. You know, and that's at Greg Penglis. Yeah, it's the businesses, and here's the thing too. People, and we've talked about this before, but people don't give up their constitutional rights at work or when you're engaging in business.
Yes.
You still have your rights, and yet employers, they don't care. You know, they'll say do what we say or you're fired. And even though the corporation's wrong, it costs too much to fight for that low paying job. It's easier for people just to quit, and they'll find some minion who will go along with their stupid policies. You know.
And
so if you
Greg,
have princes,
my,
yeah. Go ahead.
My sister in Nicaragua in the 80s, government of Daniel Ortega, the dictator. My sister was working for the phone company, and they told her, if you do not become part of them, you can leave. So I had to start sending money every month to my sister to survive because she didn't want to be a communist. She disagreed, and so they fired her. My sister left.
Wow.
And with $100 a month, I was feeding her and her kids in Nicaragua for years. Until we apply for her to get here. And let me tell you, this is, and my sister couldn't hardly wait because they were after her and her family. So I told my sister, I'm going to start doing your paperwork the legal way because, you know, I don't believe in people coming in the legal way. But my sister didn't listen. And she came all the way from Nicaragua to Mexico. And every bus stop, the Mexican police, they were asking for money and money and money and money. And my sister had some coyotes to bring her across. And one of the coyotes wanted to rape my 15-year-old niece. So my So my sister decided, begged him, please don't rape my little girl because the other kids were younger. Mm-hmm. And the guy agreed to just have sex with my sister, the coyote, and not rape my niece, the 15-year-old.
Wow.
And my sister got pregnant, actually. So I have a niece from a coyote. And so my sister they walked through the river because the cartels and the coyotes, they've been working together now even more.
Mm-hmm.
So the cartels, and the coyotes have a special thing by the river that they block the water so the water doesn't run. And my sister walked right through the river. They didn't even have to swim or anything. And they turned themselves into immigration and asked for political asylum. They were desperate. And my sister got the political asylum. It took a couple years to everything be legalized. And I helped her with a home and everything because I was responsible for her. The government.
You were a sponsor.
Didn't give anything to my sister.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a horrible story. I'm glad you did what you did. But we're open to that. I mean, she was a real refugee. She was kicked out by the Communist Party. She was a victim in her country. She was being persecuted. That's the definition of what a refugee is. Okay, people and most Americans they have no problem with that. What Americans have a problem with, and those of us who are legal immigrants, we really have a problem, is the illegals coming in here. And I don't care where they're from. And I know the people that post on my page keep saying, you're against brown people, you're against black people. It's a bunch of hogwash.
No, we're not.
You know, I don't distinguish between an Irish illegal, a Chinese illegal, an Argentinian illegal, a New Zealand illegal. It doesn't matter to me. You're either legal or illegal. What you look like is irrelevant. It's your legal status.
Yeah.
And if you're coming to this country legally and you go through the process and you fill out the paperwork, or in your case where you were sponsoring your sister, you know, and that's perfectly legitimate.
The government
likes that. That way they know that the person coming in is not going to go right on welfare. Of course, now they don't care.
Exactly. And they make you sign this paper and everything. So I was responsible for my sister and her children, finding them a home. Giving them food every 2-3 days, I will come with bags full of food for them.
Yeah.
And
that's not chain migration, folks.
And
that's not anchor babies. That's a whole different thing. That's legal immigration. That's how it's supposed to work.
Political asylum. That's what my sister got in her kids. Uh-huh. And my two little sisters at the beginning of the Sandinista regiment over there in Nicaragua, they were going to get my two little sisters and send them to Cuba. They were going to take them, and we didn't know what to do. It was bad. They were taking all the children from 14 years old and older.
Wow.
But the youngest was 14 years old. They were taking them just from your house. They didn't care. They were going from house to house, and they would take all the kids and take them to the mountain and train them in Nicaragua. They say, oh, we're going to teach them how to read, write, and everything, but it's not true. We found out, like one of my cousins, they took him from his parents' arm, and they sent him directly to Cuba to become communist. And that's exactly what was going to happen to my sister. So I went to Nicaragua and I begged the American consul to let them out. And you know what, Greg? Out of 80 to 100 people in line on that day, I spoke to the American consul, and he gave visas for my sisters to escape the country. And only three people got visas that day, a nun and my two sisters. So they came the legal way, and then we got political asylum for them because they were going to take my two little sisters to the mountains, the Sandinistas, and probably rape them and do whatever they want, and then send them to Cuba. So let me tell you, I got big stories. So I have a coyote niece.
Which is pretty wild when you think about it, yeah. That's an amazing story. And here's the thing, so people don't really understand how bad this is. They don't understand the deprivation of these people. They don't understand that the coyotes are literally dumping. I heard the story about them dumping kids over, you know, on the other side of a wall just to get rid of them so they wouldn't be a burden to them. I mean, they're horrible things that are happening. And we're like, you know, we're all sort of scratching our heads. It's like, who's going to stop this? You know, we can't do this as individuals. This has to be a government solution. And they're sitting there going, we're getting Democrat votes here in these Republican states. We'll show them. We've got a foreign aid program. We've got a voter registration drive by bringing in literally an entire population of compliant peasants that just want money. They want a better job. They say they want a better life. You know, of course, we all do. It's a horrendous situation. You know, and there's no logic. Because it's against everything we stand for as Americans. Yeah.
Greg, there's a few legitimate people coming, like from Cuba, Nicaragua, that they're being persecuted because right now in Nicaragua, they are still dragging young college kids and torture them in Nicaragua right now as we speak. They're torturing them, murdering them, young kids in Nicaragua, because they were standing against the dictator in Nicaragua to protect the older folks from their Social Security paycheck that it happened a couple of years ago. They murdered 350 the first day they were marching in the street by snipers from Cuba. The dictatorship
murdered older folks so they wouldn't collect Social Security? Is that what you're saying?
No. The older folks wanted their pension in Nicaragua a couple years ago. And the students, the college kids said, we're going to stand for you. We're going to go march in the street. And the students were marching by the thousands in the streets in Nicaragua a couple years ago. And the Sandinistas, the dictator, they started shooting. The first day, they shot about over 350 young kids and some older folks and little kids. My niece almost got it because she was in part of the march in Nicaragua.
Yeah, and this is the future of the country. And this is you know, if they get rid of their students, they get rid of their intellectuals, they get rid of the people that are working hard to help better the country.
Yeah.
You know, just from a brain drain perspective, this is just, you know, despite the fact that, you know, you shouldn't be killing people, obviously. That's all I'm talking about. But it doesn't make sense
marching,
on any level.
But you're not allowed to march. And you don't have guns to defend yourself, to protect yourself, to shoot back.
Yeah.
So at that time when all the thousands of people were in the street in Nicaragua marching for the older folks for their pension that the government spent, and there was only a little bit of money left, Daniel Ortega called Cuba, and within 2 hours, there were 2,000 snipers arriving in Nicaragua, getting in buildings, getting everywhere to start shooting the students and anybody in the street marching against Daniel Ortega.
Wow.
Corruption in Nicaragua.
Yeah. I got one more question on this, and then I want to get I'm going to talk about a dear Congressman Matt Gaetz. I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes. And again, of course, you're welcome to stick around for that. But the question is, in a country like Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador, they may be poor, they may be, you know, tough economic conditions, but are they really persecuted by their government? I mean, we're talking non-communist governments, and they may be corrupt, they may be, you know, authoritarian, but are they actually persecuting people like you are in Nicaragua and Cuba, where if you don't follow the Communist Party line, they just kill you, you know? So what's going on in these other countries?
The answer is no. Because I know well Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala. What's really happening is the cartels and the MS-13 and now in Honduras, terrorists, Muslims, are infiltrating all over Central America, including in Colombia. What they're doing is they're harassing people. They are murdering some people, the MS-13, if you don't do whatever they tell you to do. And so it's just like when New York was so bad with the gangs, you know, that's what's happening in a lot of these countries. A lot of the gangs are taking over the cities. They're taking over your farms. They're taking over everything. And they can kill you if they want. And the government is afraid because a lot of the police in those countries, they're afraid of the MS-13 and the cartels because they will come after you and murder your whole family if you don't obey them.
Interesting. So in the communist countries, it's the government that's the supreme force, and they employ basically gang members, you know, in their army and their police forces. And if you don't comply with the communist government, they kill you. But in the El Salvador, Guatemala, most of the other countries, Honduras, you know, it's more like the
Honduras.
Government is under the gangs. The gangs are more powerful. The cartels
gangs.
Are more powerful. So it's a different kind of oppression.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a gang oppression as opposed to communist government oppression. But it's still oppression. I mean, I understand their problems. These are not ideal places to live, obviously. But the countries that are still, you know, that are still under some kind of a republic or a democracy, you know, are very different than the communist countries, but they still can, you know, and yeah, I understand the violence, I think, and things like that. But again, people have to do for themselves. We have violence in Chicago. We have more people killed, you know, I think in Chicago per capita than in Honduras. Honduras is safer than Chicago. Okay. So then why are people coming here from Honduras? You know, it doesn't, none of this makes any sense to me, but it's
really,
money and power.
And the really poor people, they want to have a better life. And they all say the same thing when they interview, well, I want to come to America because I want to have a better life. Of course you do. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? You know? So, and let me tell you quickly, and then you can do your thing.
Well, thank you.
When my sister arrived here and she was getting a little comfortable and all that, she started hating Americans and Cubans and all that. And let me tell you, I stopped her. I said, do you remember where you came from? And she said, yeah. I said, if I ever hear one more word talking about Americans that open the doors to you here in this country, I will send you back. And let me tell you, my sister never opened her mouth complaining about anything again.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because
I
warned her that I will send her back if she hated the people in this country so much. It was it was all political crap that people were brainwashing her.
I can see illegal aliens complaining that they're not getting enough free stuff once they start getting free stuff. I mean, that's the human nature. You know, people that get free college, they want the next thing free. They want to go back for another degree. Well, you paid for this. Why won't you pay for my next degree? Well, because you're a lazy bum. That's why. You know, anyway, let me play some stuff here. We're going to come back with a little different topic. We're going to talk about our dear congressman. Thanks, Josie. Great report.
Yes, I love him.
This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system. You are listening to Action Radio Online with Greg Penglis. The webpage for all Action Radio shows and podcasts is blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Please share our show with all your friends and family, both nationally and internationally. The guiding principle of Action Radio is this: we the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed. To call any show on the Action Radio Network from anywhere in the United States, the number is 215-383-3832. To call any show from outside the United States using Skype, call 011, then 1-215-383-3832. We have many groups within Action Radio which will become laboratories for citizen legislation and serve as a place you can go for more specialized information. From the main Facebook page, Action Radio with Greg Penglis, at facebook.com/radiolegislature, you can check out our Action Radio news group, our vaccine project, the Family Law Project, the art project, the writer's page, the video page, our new student advocacy group, and many more groups that are coming soon. Remember, at Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. All right, let's get back to some stuff here. I'm going to tell you folks a story. And it started actually 4 years ago, March, when I arrived here from California. And I got a job with Mike Bates at 1330 AM WEBY. And this is my first full-time job in radio. I'd had weekend shows. I'd had other things and sort of, you know, starts and stops. And this is a tough business to get into just because everybody wants their own talk show. And you can see that now. You know, and Blog Talk is not that hard to do. It's hard to do well. And people are you know, deceived by the fact they think, hey, just sit here and talk. No, there's a lot more to it than that. But the point is, I got my show and I moved out here and I was fortunate enough to be in Matt Gaetz's district. And so it was really amazing because he was calling in every week. So here I am, you know, my first radio job. It's a big responsibility. I'm not sure exactly how to do it because I'm changing radio. You know, I know how to do it now, but 4 years ago, it was all new. I mean, how do I go from, you know, from talk radio to action radio? How do I introduce the citizen legislature? How do we do all the things we're doing? Anyway, so I started talking to Congressman Gaetz. And we went into some very interesting areas of history, culture, you know, stuff about the Congress, you know, the laws. You know, we talked about the investigations, you know, months before anything else. We were calling the Mueller investigation the insurance policy, you know, of Strzok and Page, 6 months before anybody else even mentioned it on the air. So we were really, you know, breaking a lot of new ground. One of the things that was really special about that was when it came to the citizenship question on the census. And so the Supreme Court had said you can't do it, and they went to the states, and it went back and forth, and the Supreme Court ruled again. And the president, you know, President Trump, the lawful president, made an executive order. But what people don't know is behind the scenes, you know, here on our little radio show, it was July 5th of 2018. I know, because we just read the Declaration of Independence on the 4th. So July 5th, I hop on the air, WBY, and I say, I want to write a bill. And I want to write a bill on the air. And, of course, this has never been done before. We still are the first and only show I know worldwide that ever actually wrote citizen legislation on the air with callers, me typing up as we were doing it. So this is what happened. So the first caller, you know, I'll post the recording again. But you get past our first – Josie, do you remember Clarence when he used to call?
Yeah.
Remember him at all? Yeah, okay.
Fighting
so Clarence called since then. Oh, yeah. He was hysterical. All right. So Clarence would call in. But after that, we started getting calls. And I got 8 calls in that hour. And of those 8 calls, if you look at our bill, which I actually post on writeyourlaws.com, you know, mandating the citizenship question on the census, you'll see 8 paragraphs. Because the fascinating thing about that was every caller – basically created their own paragraph. One person said, we don't need a census because we've got the you know, the IRS and computers. They know where everybody is. Another person said that, well, I don't want any racial classifications. You know, we should get rid of that in government and just count people. I said, well, that was interesting. You know, and everybody had their own view of how to do it. So we wrote the bill based on those 8 callers, and I literally was typing it up. All right. So this was on a Thursday. Or no, it was on Thursday. Wednesday was the 4th. Thursday was the 5th. 6th was the Friday, and the 7th I got all typed up, and it was on writeyourlaws.com, and then I sent the bill to Congressman Gaetz. Well, that Tuesday, you know, 5 days later, he called us back, and he did his regular call in for the show, and we talked for a while about different things, and like I say, I have to wait a week to post that. Maybe I'll put it on Parler, but we talked about a bunch of things, and we got to the bill. And he loved it. And it went, I think, as far as it went to the Freedom Caucus in Congress. It went to, I'm pretty sure it went to the president. I don't know exactly where it went because nobody tells you the exact details. It had some impact, and it may have impacted the president's executive order mandating the citizenship question on the census. And that's one of our big successes so far because I had a big reach with WEBY. We were gaining listeners like crazy. The show, I knew that show could have gone national. We'd be huge by now if what happened didn't happen. But it did happen, and I was out of there. But the point was, and Congressman Gates even himself said, you know, this is a viable way to get legislation to Congress. The fact that we write it on the air, we just take regular people with just our regular common sense, and we send it in to members of Congress. And that's what we do here. So we already proven this concept back in 2018. So I know this works. Now, what's happening with Congressman Gates, one of the things we talked about 2 years ago was Congressman Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan was going through his, you know, what I call the Democrat obligatory sex scandal. So in other words, the minute you get powerful enough, you know, it'll probably happen to me too. Let's see what they make up for me, right? It's going to be interesting. But they're going to make up something. And so they made up something for Matt Gaetz. Well, thank you. I look like such a goofy nerd. See what they're going to make up for me, right? You know, well, I'm already being canceled. Like I say, Facebook, they're already complaining to me on Facebook, right? So I've lost Facebook for a week. But, yeah, so we ought to do a show on that. What's my bogus sex scandal going to be? Let's preempt them. Let's do it ahead of time. Say, okay, you got three options, you know. It's the, you know, I don't mean to make light of this, and well, I do, but I don't want to joke about this in terms of the victims, of people that are victims of, you know, who are underage or women who are raped. I don't want to make fun of that. What I want to make fun of is the Democrat, you know, idea that the people that do the sex scandals, the Bill Clintons, the Anthony Weiners, the Harvey Weinsteins, the Jeffrey Epsteins, you know, the Andrew Cuomos, the people that do these horrible things, Hunter Biden, the people that are in positions of power that do this, all right, that them accusing, you know, conservative Republicans of doing what we know they already do and thinking it's you know, they think that just the accusation's enough, you know, because I believe survivors, I believe Anita, I believe, you know, Blasey Ford, I believe, you know, well, we didn't believe the people that that complain about Biden, Clinton, and all these other people, all right? So it's almost like a rite of passage. You get powerful enough, you get a sex scandal. Let's bring Bianchi on here. Let's see what he thinks my sex scandal is going to be. This should be funny. Bianchi, what do you think? What do you think they're going to accuse me of when I get big enough?
Hey, the gang's out here. I don't know. Smuggling with a kitty cat. I don't know.
Thanks. He puts me with an animal. Great. This is what I need. Well, no, I prefer to think I'd have like a harem or something like that, or I'd be you know, running some exotic travel club to I don't know, worldwide, you know, like the cruise ship, you know, the dating ship, the real love boat. I mean, give me something good. If you're going to make up a scandal about me, make up something really good. So I think the scandal was made up about Congressman Gates because, you know, he's just that powerful. And so he's going to come back. He's going to start retaliating. He's got to start doing something. And so I've actually written, I won't give you all the details, but I've written his staff, his new staff, because he – and this is public knowledge, Luke Ball, his communications director, left. And I sort of speculated that I've had a tough time reaching the congressman. If I had to speculate, I'd say Luke had something to do with that, being communications director. So they get new staff, and hopefully I can reach them and we can get him back on the show, because that'd be good for him, because we've got the best ideas, you know, in the country. And it'd be good for us because, you know, we'd get, you know, massive amounts of listeners really fast. So I'm not going to, you know, BS my way through that. I really believe it helped both of us, just as it helped, you know, him with new ideas back when he was first starting out in Congress, and helped me as a new talk show host, you know, in his district when I was starting out in talk radio. So we actually had a really good arrangement going. It was fascinating for both of us. But that's where we stand. So that's where I think this is going to go. It's going to blow over. And Congressman Gates will get back to doing what he does best, which is ripping the hell out of Democrats in hearings, you know, getting all those pithy, wonderful comments, you know, on the air, and just, you know, talking about the left as what they are, you know, hypocrites, you know, power mad, obsessed people, and election frauders. You know, let's be real. And I know he's connected with Donald Trump. And of course, I'm hoping that connection works for us too. So all these things are going on in the background. So my question is, or my title of the show today, Representative Matt Gaetz, we are here, you know, when you're ready to go on the offensive, or ready to go on offense, because we have the bills, we have the ideas, you know, and I know we get people from around the country, you know, calling in saying, hey, let's try this. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's make a bill. We'll get it to Congressman Gaetz, who said on my show, this is a viable way to get legislation to Congress. So that's where we stand on that. Yeah, that's my story.
That sounds great. Well, that sounds great. Good morning to you, Joseph.
Hey, good morning,
she must be muted.
We know she's there.
Going for research.
Yeah. Go ahead. You were doing what? Yeah, what were you doing?
Yeah.
I've been from you for a while. Where you been? What's going on?
Well, you know, things go on. But I was doing some research on Georgia's voter reform.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me about
and, it. The one senator, the U.S. senator that would be elected this past term on the runoff, and a friend of mine who's from Georgia said that both senators are against what the Major League Baseball is doing. He said that the mayor is against it, Stacey Abrams is against it, and, of course, the businesses are against it also.
But wait a minute, but they're against the bill. What kind of hypocrites are they? So they want the money from the corporations. They don't want the corporations to do this, but they want to do it. They want to say this is voter suppression when it isn't. They want to institutionalize vote fraud. They want to criminalize in law the ability to steal elections, and yet they don't want the support of left-wing woke corporations saying, oh, we agree with you. We think this is a good idea because they want the money. They want the money from the All-Star Game. They want the money from Delta Airlines. They want the economy, and they want their leftism at the same time. What a bunch of friggin' hypocrites.
Ah. Well, one of the reasons they're against is because of the business. Money.
So I'm saying this is money. So they want the revenue, all right? They want the taxes. They want all the money this will generate, and yet they still want the illegal vote fraud. But they don't want the corporations to talk about it. What?
They say it's only one part of the bill that they're against, and that's the one where the state legislation can come in and take control of the commission.
Oh. Oh, because they can buy the governor.
The
secretary of state.
The U.S. has the right to do those things. And
oh, I know.
That's the way it is. It's
they can object to that.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, they can object to that, but they can't.
How many, how many state legislatures are reforming their voters, rules because of the onslaught of mail-in ballots like they've never seen before?
I think most states are. A lot of states are. I know that.
A lot of states are. You're absolutely right. So now
you know,
it's
the ultimate irony that, a lot of states wanted to mandate that their electors, go with whoever won the popular vote. And Trump won the popular vote, 80 million to 66 million. And so states like Colorado would have to send their delegates to Trump under that scenario. You haven't heard a lot about that, have you? Now you know why. This is fascinating what's going on.
I tell you what,
wonder. What's that?
I wonder why some there's not day after day after day that lawsuits aren't being filed against Joe Biden, unless we're not hearing about them.
It could be. Well, here's something else we're hearing about. This is all over the news yesterday. The black Muslim church, was it Nation of Islam member that killed the cop in D.C. and really badly injured another one. That story's disappeared because it wasn't a white guy.
Well, you're wrong on that. He's a black supremacist, but go ahead.
Okay, well, so black supremacy. So all right, so go ahead. Tell me the story. What do you think's going on?
Oh,
there?
No, yeah. I mean, you labeled him wrong. He's a black supremacist because he followed the tenets of he follows the leader, and the leader's organization, Tennis, is listed on the back of Muhammad Speaks newspaper. So, like we said, if it had been a white person that done it, they would have been labeled a Trump supporter, a far a right wing, and so on, so on, so on.
So what are the tenets of black supremacy? Let's get those on the record.
Separation.
Do you have that there? What is that?
Separation.
Okay. Would segregation be the right term, or are we talking, total separation?
Well, you have one organization that wants to have five southern states to themselves. Imagine how that would go.
Oh, so we'd have actually black states? Oh, that's fascinating. You know, the so much for the Civil Rights Act, so much for Martin Luther King. But this is fascinating. This is why the left, people don't realize this, the Democrat Party is the party of segregation, the party of separation. Now, is the Nation of Islam closely associated with the Democrat Party, or are they two separate entities trying to do the same thing?
Well, I got pictures of Maxine Waters hugging Louis Farrakhan.
Okay, there you go. All right. We should look more into that. I want to cover this article first, then I want to get back to our dear congressman, because, in fact, Congressman Gates, give us a call here, 215-383-3832. Let's get him back on the show, and because I have 21 bills to rock the nation. My latest one is the one that puts product liability back on the vaccine manufacturer. That bill alone would put him in the national spotlight once again, but not in a bad light, but as a crusader for the people. And it would get this nonsense, off the screen, but it also have him doing good stuff because we've got the ideas here. He used to call us the Ideas Factory. And he did that because we had, between the callers, between stuff I'm cranking out and then everybody here, we have collectively some really fabulous ideas. All right. So this appeared, this is actually Matt Gaetz's own article, and it was in the Washington Examiner yesterday. And he said, as a representative, Matt Gaetz, the swamp set out to drown me with false charges, not giving up. Well, good. I just wanted to get hair back, his real hair, get rid of the rock star moose. Okay, that wasn't working, dude. All right, anyway. This is his article. Washington scandal cycles are predictable, and sex is especially potent in politics. Let me first remind everyone that I'm a representative in Congress, not a monk, and certainly not a criminal. Nancy Pelosi once defended Bill Clinton after he got an intern to you-know-what in the Oval Office. But when I'm saying you-know-what. I have trouble with graphic words. But when it comes to the allegation that I, a grown man, paid for an adult girlfriend's expenses, well, consider that a bridge too far for the power-hungry hypocrites. I want to be clear about something as we process the leaks and lies from the past week. To this point, there are exactly zero credible or even non-credible accusers willing to come forward by name and state on the public record that I behaved improperly toward them in the manner by which Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo has 10 accusers. Instead, CNN, The New York Times, Politico, and others are just repeating false allegations about a congressman who loathes the swamp and fights both sides of it on a daily basis. Yeah, he had a human trafficking vote that he was the only one in Congress to do that. And they all said, well, you're voting for human trafficking. It's like, no, he wasn't. He voted against the bill because it was already covered by several other agencies. It was a complete duplication and a waste of time and a feel-good bill. And that's why he voted against it, which made sense. I agree with that vote. But, it's how the vote is characterized and how the bills are characterized. Okay, back to Gaetz's article. He says, just as they once falsely attacked President Donald Trump as a Russian asset, Justice Brett Kavanaugh as the gang rapist, and even John Cain as having fathered a child out of wedlock, they now attack me. Of course, none of what they say ever amounts to anything, yet it is endlessly repeated by leftist television anchors such as Chris Cuomo, interesting one to pick because of Andrew, his dear brother, who uses this platform to cover for his brother's appalling subjection of nursing home patients to death by the coronavirus. They think themselves such wonderful arbiters of moral purpose. I want to stop there for a second because this is something that I'm on Facebook too, when I could still comment on Facebook, that the press is all over Andrew Cuomo and the Democrats all over him for a sexual assault and not for the fact that he killed, 15,000 people by forcing COVID-positive people back in the nursing homes? That at a minimum, that's criminal negligence. At a maximum, it's premeditated murder. And yet the sex thing, either the Democrats blow up out of proportion or the Democrat media blows it up out of proportion, even though the Democrats do it themselves. But they're missing the point on Cuomo. He's a mass murderer. Why isn't that the issue? You guys want to take that one on?
I want to say probably most of the women coming forward for Cuomo, it's a setup. So people can get distracted with a sex scandal and ignore the murder that he made.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning they say, he was not responsible. He's blaming Trump. And over 15,000 grandparents on purposely were murdered by Cuomo and his gangs. And the sex scandal, maybe one or two, but not all of women. It's a lie. It's a lie. But people are like, Cuomo and the sex scandal. And see, they're distracting themselves. These people are snakes. And like you said a minute ago, if they did it to Donald Trump, Roy Moore in Alabama, they did it to Herman Cain when he was running for president, and they did it to Supreme Court Kavanaugh.
A black man with a sex scandal, that's racist.
Yeah.
If you were a Democrat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And Christine Ford, she looks like a dude anyway, so.
Maybe she was.
Yeah, she does. She looks like a man.
We shouldn't speculate on that, yeah. Herman Cain, it's interesting you mentioned him. He was one of those people I really wanted to talk to. And I'm sorry I never got the chance. I didn't know he was, because he was, you know. Did you talk to him? Okay. Yeah, that's wonderful.
I talked to him several times on the radio. Very nice. Very nice guy.
Yeah, but I wish I could have gotten on my show. Just because I think we're on the same time, maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, but Herman Cain was one of my heroes. You know, here's a guy that comes from nothing, runs Godfather Pizza, runs for president. And I wasn't crazy about the 999 plan, but, you know, I don't have to agree with somebody's exact plans to value the fact that they have one. All right. So here's the question now. The Democrats seem to think that accusing Republicans of sex scandals is like the worst thing in the world. And yet whenever Democrats accuse, they do everything to fight for them. You know, Bill Clinton, you know, with Monica Lewinsky. Well, it's not really sex or it's only sex. I mean, everybody lies about sex. So the dismissive attitude of Democrats, because they're all doing it too, probably with, you know, their neighbors and friends and, you know, farm animals. Well, I shouldn't go that far. Bianchi did with the kitten coming. That was hysterical. I gotta go back and listen to that. But the thing is, the Democrats think it's okay to accuse everybody else of a false sex scandal, and that somehow they believe in their minds is the worst thing in the world. You know, because you don't see them accusing people of bank robbery or embezzlement, or you don't see them accusing Republicans of mass drug abuse or any of the other crimes out there they could falsely accuse Republicans of. They always pick sex. I just find that interesting, especially when they're doing it as much as they are and getting caught and going to jail. So what is it about the Democrats and sex that they think that that's the one accusation that they can make and, you know, that's going to, you know, propel them to office, and then all the women disappear right afterwards?
Well, sex is what got Kamala Harris in office. So they're all
people. Well, and there's another person we should pick too. Now she didn't do anything illegal as far as I know, immoral maybe, but certainly she didn't do, you know, as far as I know, it's not illegal, but has she accused anybody else of a false sex accusation? That would be funny.
The sex allegations
used to work when you had more of a moral status, moral movement within the country, the Protestants and the Catholics, so on and so on and so on. But now, in the United States, the attendance of churches is falling way off. So, and the things that, well, I tell you what, really, with the LGBTQ and the homosexual and transvestite movement, that takes the sex scandal card away from you.
Yeah, you know, and it's an interesting point because they never accuse Republicans of having homosexual sex. It's always, you know, heterosexual sex. It's like a taboo. In other words, if they said that Matt Gaetz was gay, or if they said Jim Jordan was really gay and in the closet, or Donald Trump was secretly gay, and, you know, you don't know it. He's got, you know, 15 male lovers or something like that. Just making up really horrendous stuff. They don't do that because I think that would offend the gay community. They say, wait a minute, you can't do it. What's wrong with a gay affair or gay relationship? You know, they can't do that. So they have to make it, with women, with the guys and women. And they don't seem to be accused. Well, I don't know. They probably have. Have many women been accused of sex with guys, Republican women? Have they gone out? I think there was one that they went after.
I don't think so.
Well, let's see.
Go
ahead.
But I'm going to tell you right now, Matt Gaetz not going anywhere because he knows their little game. And I have Matt Gaetz's mom and dad, you know, in the past. And he's a good man, and he will never do something like that because he's against all this illegal stuff and trafficking.
It's all a lie. Of course it's a lie. I'm defending him, and I agree with you there. What I'm fascinated with is more the accusation. You know, I don't believe for a second that he paid for a 17-year-old girl. You know, besides being illegal, it's also stupid. You know, and what we talked to a 17-year-old about anyway, you know, other than, high school stuff. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
And also it is catering to a certain voters group, that is women, showing how this person abuses women. The puppy, what's the name of the skunk that they want to do rid of? Pepe somebody.
Pepe the Pew.
Yeah, Pepe
the
Pew.
Dr. Seuss and Pepe
Le Pew,
that's true.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Did Matt Gaetz ever coach, like, Little League or either boys or girls teams I mean, why did they pick a 17-year-old accusation? Why did they pick that particular thing for Gates? I'm just curious. You know,
I don't know.
Have any basis
but,
for
but,
you know? Yeah. Huh. I mean, nice we did coach those teams because that's a cool thing to do. But you know, I'm just wondering. I'm just speculating here wildly. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
And the other thing, the Democrats want to pass the law in California that old men can have sex with little kids legally. So these
people isn't that interesting?
Are stupid in their mind and sick. They're just sick. That's what I see.
Well, now,
now
that's a good point. They want the tolerance to you have to have the tolerance to accept, you know, alternative lifestyles and, you know, adults having sex with children, which, of course, is disgusting, illegal, horrible, and should, you know, carry a life sentence. I mean, because if that's the kind of person you are, I don't want you on the streets ever, ever again. But I just but in other words, so they want the tolerance to do, so here's the hypocrisy, right? So in California, they're saying the adults should be able to have sex with kids, and yet they accuse Matt Gaetz of having sex with a 17-year-old. Okay, so they're accusing the very thing they're trying to get passed in law. They're accusing somebody of because it's illegal. That's a weird contradiction. So again, it's not Matt Gaetz I'm really talking about so much here. Is the psychology of the leftists that are falsely accusing him? What's in it for them? Other than just to try and ruin him, is it because they think that conservatives have a higher moral standard and will judge Matt Gaetz more harshly for a sex scandal with a 17-year-old than they would, you know, say your typical Democrat, Andrew Cuomo, with a 17-year-old? You know, are Democrats, in fact, rewarded for having, you know, Bill Clinton's status went up with Monica Lewinsky? Hey, look what happened to me under the White House desk. Yeah, he's a real Democrat man. You know, his status increased. Yeah, think about that. Poor Monica Lewinsky. Oh, I'd love to get her on the show.
Clown.
That poor kid. Yeah.
Hey, Chico. And the stupid clown, Monica Lewinsky, voted for Hillary Clinton. I was like,
well, that was dumb.
Well,
she's probably a liberal. That's how she got the gig in the first place. But
you want
to talk about it horribly, not just by, you know, what she did in the Clinton family, but by the press for years. I would love to get, you know who I want to get on the show? I want to get Monica Lewinsky on the show. I'd love to get Roseanne Barr on the show. I want to get all these folks that nobody seems to want to talk to and say, hey, come here, tell your story. Let's see what we can do about this. But anyway, she got horrible treatment. But let me finish this article. We got 15 minutes left here. And so Gates, this is Gates' own article in the Washington Examiner from yesterday. And it says here, oh, I got a lot more to read. He says, I read that part there. Chris Cuomo, I read that part. He says, folks won't be surprised that bizarre claims are being made about me shortly after I decided to take on the most powerful institutions in the Beltway, the establishment, the FBI, the Biden Justice Department, the Cheney political dynasty, even the Justice Department under Trump. See, there you go. So he is an equal opportunity accuser. So let me read that again because I think this is interesting. Folks won't be surprised that bizarre claims are being made about me shortly after I decided to take on the most powerful institutions in the Beltway, the establishment, the FBI, which I think he called for their being abolished. Of course, I've called for that too. The Biden Justice Department, well, there's a contradiction. The Cheney political dynasty. Remember when he flew up to Wyoming and said, you know, Lynn Cheney should go? When he did that, I think he's the only congressman to do that. Even the Justice Department under Trump. Yeah, because there was a Justice Department under Trump. They're basically the coup d'etat department. So do you guys agree that that's why this happened now? That these are the folks he's going after?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Bianchi? Yeah. I do too. Bianchi?
Yeah, I agree too.
Yeah. Let me continue on then. Because yes, just like the mafia, the D.C. swamp protects its, quote, made men. Since I'm taking my turn under the gun, let me address the allegations against me directly. First, I have never, ever paid for sex. And second, I, as an adult man, have not slept with a 17-year-old. See, he's not equivocal. He's not hemming. He's not hawing. He's not qualifying. He's not doing the Bill Clinton, you know, it wasn't really sex and it depends what the meaning of is. There's no hesitation here whatsoever. And that's how I determine, you know, the innocent person tells you directly, I didn't do it. And you can make up all the accusations you want. I didn't do it. That's an honest person. The guilty person says, well, you can't. How dare you accuse me? How can you say that I did that? That's a horrible thing. And they never actually get to the question. This is a sign of honesty. All right. He's predictably the anti-Trump cheerleaders such as Meghan McCain, Bill Kristol, and sadly, some of my feckless colleagues in Congress. Well, anybody that uses the word feckless goes up in my view. All right. Feckless colleagues in Congress are going to call, you know, calls for me to resign. This is how D.C. works. The guilty and wrong point fingers at the innocent and right. Remember President, well, I can't say that. Remember insurrectionist Joe Biden's Ukraine scandal or the Lincoln Project's professions of moral superiority? Their score of moral posturing is all merely projection. And no, I am absolutely not resigning. Well, good for him. I can say we're behind him. I am. You know, I want to get past this onto something a little more concrete, like, you know, saving the country, restoring Trump to office, doing the things we need to do. All right. He says, the Washington Post recently accused me of stating that I'm really enjoying my current embrace of monogamy. That is the truest thing they've ever written about me. I'm a better man today than I was a year ago. Heck, I hope to be a better man than I was yesterday, every day of my life. Is he engaged or anybody know his social status?
I don't think he has a girlfriend.
I thought he was. I heard he was getting married. That's why I was curious about them. Well, we haven't heard from her yet.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if she. I don't know if his fiance or girlfriend or to be wants to say anything. Like I say, I'm not exactly sure where he is. Well, yeah, maybe he'll tell us if we can get him on. But if I get him on the show, I don't want to talk about this. I mean, I've got much more important things.
I'll ask him next time because he speaks in Spanish. Every time I see him, you know, we get pictures together.
He speaks Spanish?
I talk to him in Spanish. He speaks, oh, yeah, very well.
Huh,
yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you should interview him in Spanish. That would be fascinating. We'll do a special interview.
I'll ask him next time I see him.
Well, I still want you and Anthony to do a Spanish version of Action Radio, you know, for Central and South America.
Okay.
Send it to Cuba. Come on, guys, you got to do it. You got to do it. You'd be a great team. Yeah, I'm serious. I'll give
you
the time.
Greg, one of my friends, she sent me the video about the allegations about Matt Gaetz immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even seen anything, I said, do not believe it. 88 million Americans are on Matt Gaetz's side. This is just illegal. Fake news. Fake.
Well,
so
especially
fake.
Especially when the Democrats are doing this and proud of it. It's almost like if you're if you're a Democrat, your status goes up. If you have an affair, okay. Now here's some language I do. Exactly. Here's some language I find interesting. He says the Washington Post recently accused me of stating that I'm really enjoying my current embrace of monogamy. That's a rather interesting choice of words. Current embrace of monogamy, which implies he had time he wasn't embracing monogamy, and they don't even establish, you know, fiance, marriage, engaged, which would be normal categories that you would talk about if those were the case. So what the hell is an embrace of monogamy? is that a Washington Post weasel word? I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah. He says my life. The fact that he says my lifestyle of yesteryear may be different from how I live now, but I was not. But it was not. And is not illegal. He said he paid for women to get like airline tickets and hotels and stuff. You know, I mean, Josie, how many women wouldn't want to date a guy from Congress who's single, who will like meet you wherever, you know, will fly you in for a date, for example? That sounds kind of cool. What do you think?
Yeah, I would if I was single.
Okay, so let's follow this. So imagine you're single, and some, you know, congressperson that you absolutely love, you know, says, hey, because you meet at a political function or something like that, and they say, hey, I'd really like to, you know, spend a weekend with you, you know, in Freeport. You know, come on in. I'll give you a separate hotel room. You get this, you get this. You know, we're going to meet for dinner. We're going to meet here. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a great time. You know, I just really want your company. You know, would you, if Congressman X, you know, did something like that, and you were single, would that be a reasonable offer?
Sure. Why not? Most women probably go for it if they like the guy, you know?
Yeah. So what we're establishing is that what he's nothing unusual, that a lot of women think that would be perfectly acceptable. You know, it's not like he's saying, you know, come to my brothel, be part of the harem, you know, join, you know, by the way, six other guys are going to be there too. It's not, you know, he's not saying, what he's saying to me looks completely respectable. You know, I mean, I don't know exactly what he said, but, this is what it sounds like because women aren't complaining. No one's coming forward and said, yeah, he put me in the back of a trailer. We drove 500 miles with a blindfold and this happened. You know, he's not saying that. Okay. This is going to be a great show. I wonder if Maggie's going to get this one day.
It's kind of crazy.
But the women aren't coming forward and saying that. They're not doing anything of the kind. They're actually You know, in fact, it'd be really nice if a woman came forward and said, yeah, I dated Gates for 6 months. We had a great time. You know, we parted ways, you know, amicably. We had a wonderful time while we were together. And what's your problem? He's a nice guy. I wish someone would come forward and do that. It would be nice to have that kind of confirmation.
Yeah. He's a good man, and we stand behind him, so that's it.
Yeah. Well, I'd be curious what Gates' sense of humor is. What kind of jokes does he tell? I mean, these are things I speculate on. Okay, so apparently when he was a single guy. Okay, that seems to make sense to me. He says, my lifestyle of yesteryear may be different than how I live now, but it was not and is not illegal. I defended Representative Katie Hill's thruple when her own Democrat colleagues wouldn't. I just didn't think it was anyone's business. Now, I'm not sure what Kate, so that must be, so they accused a Democrat woman. I guess they wanted to get rid of her. The Democrats accused her. What's a thruple? Is that a three-person couple?
I don't know.
Help me out here. What's a thruple? I don't do this kind of stuff.
Hey,
I'm a Boy Scout.
I don't know some of those words.
Bianca, you know these. You had me with a kitten before. I mean, a cat. Sorry. You know. what's a thruple?
I couldn't tell you.
Look it up.
We'll look it up. We'll do it after the show. I got. I don't know if I can get through the show. I don't know if I want to listen to this one. We're got only 4 minutes left. Thank you.
You're crazy.
Today, yeah, no kidding. Back to Erica. Says, it comes as no surprise that my political opponents want to sensationalize and criminalize my prior sex life just as I'm getting engaged. Oh, there we go. To the best person I've ever known. It is regrettable that the battle of ideas should thus become so personal. But then again, when your ideas suck, you need to stoop this low. This kind of stuff. He says, my personal life is and always has been conducted on my own time and on my own dime. Consensual adult relationships are not illegal. Although I'm sure some partisan crooks in Merrick Garland's Justice Department want to pervert the truth and the law to go after me. Well, they try to overthrow Trump. I mean, they'll do anything, right? I will not be intimidated or extorted. The battle for America's future demands gladiators, and I'm going to keep getting back up and fighting every single day. Let's get him a gladius sword. Let's get him with Russell Crowe on horseback, you know, battling the hordes. You know, and now, Centurion Gates. Sorry, I'm having too much fun. I'm not trying to be disrespectful of our congressman, but you're a public figure. It goes with the territory. Almost done. The Biden Justice Department would rather investigate me for adult consensual sex than Hunter Biden for his shady business dealings, than others for illegal leaks, or a former Justice Department official for the evident extortion of a congressman. Go figure. Yeah, who's this guy? There's some lawyer around here hit him up and his family for $25 million. Yeah, that was smart.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see more drip, drip, drip of leaks into the media from the corrupt Justice Department and others. When you do, ask yourself why. They aren't coming for me. They're coming for you. I'm just in the way. That's what they say about Trump, too. He says, as for me, I'm going to fight like hell for my constituents and the country I deeply love. You deserve no less, especially right now. And that is Representative Matt Gaetz represents Florida's first congressional district, which Josie and I are in the U.S. House of Representatives. That's a pretty good article. I'm impressed.
Yes, very
too bad
well.
I can't post it on Facebook anymore. Because trolls have complained about me. Yeah.
I think what's happening is that he wants to run for vice president and Ron DeSantis is going to run for president. And he'll probably win in 2024 after Trump finishes, you know.
I'd be curious what he's going
to
do. Well, he stated, here's what I do know. He has stated he doesn't want to stay in Congress forever. He's definitely term limiting himself. The options would be senator, governor, some high administration
vice
position.
President?
You know, maybe in the Trump administration. I mean, who knows? He could work for Trump in, you know, when Trump gets his term back, you know, and then he could do, I mean, who knows what he's going to do? Whatever he wants to do, he'd be certainly a huge asset for us here at Action Radio to advance citizen legislation, and he could actually make history doing that, you know, and we could work on that.
Yeah.
With all the bills we have, you know, our bills are basically, just to blow our own horn for a minute here, the bills that we have, especially the 21 bills to rock the nation, are earth-changing. They are a level of freedom that that we've never really experienced in this country if those bills get through. And so regular people properly inspired and motivated and basically, you know, worked with, you know, taught, and we have our workshops on how to actually do citizen legislation and then how to lobby it, you know, we can defeat the money. we can defeat the big donors. We can defeat the big corporations like Archer Daniels Midland for ethanol and Big Pharma, you know, forcing, you know, messenger RNA vaccine, you know, genetic modification things on the people. We can fight all that stuff because people still beat money, but you got to organize the people. And the problem is the money's organized right now. So, yeah. Anyway, anybody that has contact with Matt Gaetz, Jussie especially, you know, call him up, get, you know, any connection you have.
Yeah.
Let's get him back on the show. If you can help me with that, that'd be huge.
I'm going to see if I can get a hold of him. And the other thing I was going to say, the
we got
to
go. We got 5 seconds.
The guy that he's with a Chinese spy. Anyway, God bless.
We'll talk about that next time. Thanks, Jussie. God bless you. God bless everyone. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Back tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time.